not.
Circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ah, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning, Mr. Schwann.
Good morning again, Dave.
And you know what's really cool is that I think I mentioned earlier, we saluted John McDonough tonight. For a humanitarian award.
Sounded like a great event.
It was really a wonderful event. And Chuck Swirsky was there.
Oh, wow.
Okay. A good friend of John's was there, Jay Blunk. And, yeah, it was a great event honoring John. And he said, when we win the Stanley Cup again, I'll be bringing the cup back to the neighborhood and, mm-hmm. and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. But that got the whole crowd going. And Jim Cornelison came and sang the national anthem.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And I did the old Gene Honda, please stand and kindly remove all hats. Nobody had a hat on there. But I felt like that had to be said
before he walked
out on stage.
Yeah, and you're singing the national anthem. Just make it complete.
What was nice is that, you know, everything's planned and, you know, it's in the program and everything that we knew was happening, but we didn't want to put it in the program. We wanted that to be like a really great surprise, so we asked everyone to please stand, and everyone was like, eh, what are we doing here? And then Jim walked onto the stage and the crowd went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Sure.
Good stuff.
Sure. Great.
We got so much to talk about today, including, you know, I'll even skip ahead to this one. 1926, the NHL granted franchise to the Chicago Blackhawks and Detroit Red Wings, thus launching the two teams to the original six.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that was in 1926.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of a little history.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting to me that, forgive my ignorance, but I didn't realize that the Bulls and the NBA franchise came much later than the Hawks and certainly our baseball teams and mm-hmm. the Bears, you know, in terms of major sports franchises. The Bulls were kind of latecomers into this.
They were the last, really, of the majors here in Chicago. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the Bulls, we had auctioned off a Bulls or Blackhawks skybox. I told people because as I was talking about all these live auction items, I said,
"Oh, at the John McDonough event."
Yeah, I said, "Hey, we've got a Bulls Blackhawks skybox to give away. It's not during a game, but really, you're going to enjoy the place. It's going to be quiet, but you know, it's a joke. Of course, it's going to be during
a game. Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's going to be quiet.
Sure.
here's some interesting facts in our history segment today. 1590, Pope Urban the Seventh." Died 13 days after being chosen as the Pope, making his reign the shortest papacy in history.
Wow.
But there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other popes that reigned for less than 30 days. Was less than 30 days.
John Paul I,
yeah,
I believe,
33,
was one of them.
33.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm, 1978. That's right. Boniface the 6th, 16 calendar days. Celestine the 4th, and this is all like 1241. Theodore the 2nd in 897, 20 calendar days. Cineas, 21 days. Marcellus the 2nd in 1555, 22 days. Damasus the 2nd, 24, 27 days. Leo the 11th, 27 days. Yeah, but the only one in really anywhere in more recent history was John Paul
John
I.
Paul the 1st.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
1789, the U.S. The U.S. Office of Postmaster General was created under the Treasury Department.
Okay.
So that's when that all began, 1789.
Wasn't Ben Franklin the first
Postmaster
General?
General. Yes, yeah. He was. Yep. And then we always talk about this. Post office has lost $8 billion so far this year. It's crazy.
Oh, that's all?
To me, I don't think it's $8 billion.
Every time I put a stamp on an envelope, see how old school I am?
No, I do that too for some things. I have to mail.
I'm helping small business.
You are doing that. But I will tell you, when you think about how much FedEx and UPS makes, and I know Donald Trump has talked about the fact that, you know, look what you're doing. You know, what's Amazon doing to the post office? You know, it's really about service. If you can make money with FedEx and UPS pretty much doing almost the same thing, you can do it with the postal service. And quite frankly, these days, if I got mail twice a week, I'd be fine with that.
Would you?
Send it to me on Tuesdays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. The fact that we still deliver mail on Saturdays.
6 days a week. And there was talk a few years ago that they were going to stop delivery on Saturday.
But I open up my mailbox on a Thursday, and I'm just like, what's in here?
And there's nothing really there.
Well, no anymore. So no wonder why they're losing money.
And if you get all your bills via paperless delivery.
Pretty much, yeah. And I finally convinced my dad to do that, too, and he's of a different generation. But, you know, when you think about that as a business, I can't believe that President Trump hasn't looked at that, because it's a failing business, and it has been for decades.
Yeah.
So what do you do to overhaul that? Not privatize it, but you got to shrink it down. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but true. 1862 was also Lincoln's emancipation. It was published in Northern newspapers. There was a preliminary proclamation that he would order the emancipation of all slaves in any state that did not end the rebellion against the Union by January 1st, 1863. The proclamation also ordered that suitable persons among those freed could be enrolled into the paid service of the United States forces and ordered the Union Army to recognize and maintain the freedom of all ex-slaves.
Yeah, there was an original copy of the Emancipation Proclamation that what is now the Chicago History Museum at that time, and then required a copy just after Lincoln's assassination, but they lost it. In the Chicago fire.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously there are other copies, like there are copies of the Gettysburg Address, but there was an original one and signed by Lincoln.
That's amazing.
They lost it.
They lost it. Yeah. 1926, Henry Ford announces an 8-hour, 5-day work week. Pretty novel idea. I wish you and I could do that. Right? With our many hats that we wear in our daily life.
Yes, that's for sure.
It increased productivity for Ford, as most other businesses worked far longer per day and up to 6 hours per or 6 days per week. But even today, if you're a salaried employee, you do truly work more than 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
In most cases, if you're salaried. I mean, that's just how it goes. But that was in 1926. More productive in an 8-hour, 5-day workday than 6 days and longer hours.
They were rolling off the cars on the assembly line.
Yes, they were. 1932, the Baseball World Series opened with Chicago versus the New York Yankees. Cubs lost 6-12.
They did.
1932. 1939, the White Sox hosted their first day-night doubleheader, and they lost to Cleveland 5-2 and 7-5.
39, they put lights in.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen pictures of old Comiskey before that was painted white?
No.
That was beautiful.
Oh, probably all the brickwork, right?
It was dark brown or dark red brick. If you watch a movie like Pride of the Yankees with Gary Cooper. I think it's Pride of the Yankees or one of the baseball movies from that era. There's a picture of old Comiskey in that, a long shot of it with people going in.
That's cool.
To play New York.
Never understood when people painted brick.
Well, somebody did it.
Sometime.
I don't remember it as anything else but white. And then there's a couple of restaurants on the near south side that have old pictures of Sox Park.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And there it shows up. It's really
nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. 1949, as you know, at this time of year, Labor Day, talk about Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis. My Friend Irma is the first of 12 films, starring Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Let's listen to a little Martin and Lewis.
Dean and I met, I was at the Belmont Plaza Glass Hat, appearing in the
Jerry
Glass
Lewis.
Hat. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Frank Sinatra's mother adored me. She loved what I did in my act and adored me. And she just told me every night. She was there 4 nights a week, having dinner in the Glass Hat and watching my show. She said, I'm going to bring my son in. He's going to love you. I don't know who his son is. And Frank hadn't really hit yet. I'm talking about 43, 42, I think. I was 16 at the Glass Hat. And I meet Dean, who was on WMCA sustaining 15 minutes every day 5 days a week. And he was staying at the Belmont Plaza because the station owned the hotel, or the hotel owned the station, and he was able to stay there for nothing. He wasn't paid, so therefore they got to get him an accommodation where he didn't have to pay, and he was doing fine. And I met him in the coffee shop of the Belmont Plaza Hotel one day, and I was sitting at the counter having a very loose egg salad sandwich, and I bite the sandwich, and most of the egg salad is now on my shirt and tie. And I look around, and there's this handsome guy sitting there, hysterical. And I laughed, because he laughed, and I looked down, he said, "Lick it." So I lifted the tie, I licked it. "What else do you want? Are you fixed for spit?" And we met that way.
There you go. And there you have it. That's how Martin and Lewis got together over an egg salad all over the place.
I'll think about that.
That's a great story.
Eat an egg salad sandwich.
That's a great story. That's a great story. Let's see here. 1957, Maverick premieres. 1957 ran until 1962, starred James Garner, later joined by James Bond, Roger Moore.
Roger Moore, mm-hmm. and James Garner.
That's right. Do we have a little Maverick there?
The Old West cowboy and added a smile. His name was James Garner. His signature character was Brett Maverick.
There you go.
"Sheriff, it isn't often I can say this. I feel like I'm leaving Sunny Acres a better place than I found it." Ha!
A little Maverick there for you. 1959, the Chicago White Sox clinched the AL pennant. 1960, the first of four debates, Nixon and Kennedy, took place in Chicago. The studios where that happened was at WBBM in McClure Court, where the NBC, the Museum of Broadcast Communications, designated a national landmark there. It was a barn.
Yeah. Oh, the building.
The old McClure Court. Yeah.
It was a barn. It was a roller rink.
Yeah, it was a roller rink. Yeah, it really looked like a roller rink from the outside.
Into,
yeah.
The CBS studios. But does the museum have the plaque?
We still have the plaque.
You do have
Yeah,
that.
We went
good.
And got
I'm glad
it.
There's something.
We did that, but we took some lighting. We did some other stuff there, too, that we grabbed with us. Let's take a little listen to that debate.
"The Republican candidate, Vice President Richard M. Nixon, and the Democratic candidate, Senator John F. Kennedy. According to rules set by the candidates themselves, each man..."
The Nixon-Kennedy debates would forever change the way Americans chose their presidents. Political rallies and old-fashioned handshaking became much less important than the image on the television screen.
Now, Nixon wouldn't wear makeup for this piece.
Everything went wrong for Richard
Everything
Nixon
went wrong
there.
For him.
I understand also that when he got out of the car to get into the studio, he tripped or fell or hit his kneecap, on the car. And, one of those very painful incidents where you would hit your knee. So he was, then he wouldn't wear the makeup. That's right. Yeah. And he was mad about something else. So
we have at the Broadcast Museum one of the cameras from the Kennedy-Nixon debate, CBS cameras. And then we also have the Secret Service map, massive map of McClure Court and how they were going to get people in and out of the building. And in case of emergency, there were red lines where they would get both of them out of the building.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty cool. Uh-huh. It's sitting on the wall on display there.
Yeah.
There's so many TV shows because it's the new fall TV season that premiered this week. 1961, Hazel debuted on NBC. 1962, The Jetsons premiered, which was, of course, was the space age counterpart to the Flintstones. Yeah. 1964, The Munsters premiered this week on TV for only two seasons. That's all they were on. Two seasons and 70 episodes because they did so many episodes a season. Two seasons.
That's all at Munsters?
That's all it was.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of the Addams Family that might have run
I don't
a
think that
longer.
Was, no. I think that was about 2 years, too, believe it or not.
They've done well in syndication.
They have.
Put it that way.
They have. 1965, the Beatles cartoon show began in the U.S.
I remember
that. Seen it, it's pretty cool.
I remember that.
It's pretty cool.
When it was on Saturday mornings, yes. Yeah.
68, Hawaii 5-0 on CBS. 77, the first broadcast of the Love Boat on ABC. 1984, the Cubs. I had a nap last night, Dave. Pardon that sound effect.
You're the almost Cubs there, clinched, 6 minutes to 5.
The Cubs clinched the new National League East title. Let's take a listen.
"One ball, two strikes, the pitch. Big Cubs win the division.
division. Cubs win the division. Cubs win the division.
Dave, did the Cubs win the division?
I think the Cubs won the division, yes. Who was the pitcher?
And underneath all that humanity is Mitch Williams.
Who was the pitcher?
The starting pitcher, at least, was Rick Sutcliffe.
Rick Sutcliffe.
Two-hitter.
Wow.
Look, you talk about a mass of happy humanity. Paul Kilgus, Mitch Williams.
I'm hoping to hear some wins tonight, today, when I go to the game, too.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Maybe we'll have a win with a certain football team for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald
yeah.
struck out.
That's right. Oh, gosh, the Bears and the Emmys. That's going to be hard for me. It's going to be hard for me. All right, it is Sunday. It's time for Walter's Perspective.